This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I interest you in a Rod Brind'Amour rookie?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. We're getting some responses here to the video. Gator has such nice hands. Need more of this ASAP. It's been tweeted at us.
Should be a hand model.
Joey.
Here we go. From Mark, commented on the Twitter feed or the YouTube feed. Gator can be a hand model. Kang, not so much.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to be on camera that day. Would have got ready.
Did I?
You get your hands.
You're
ready?
Just naturally. Your hands are naturally.
Thank you, Kang.
You can see the video. By following the link that we tweeted out at DougAndGator971, Gator opening a box of hockey cards. Did he score big? He did not. But apparently he was entertaining.
But it was fun.
Yeah. Okay.
But as fun as being at the blackjack table.
That same rush?
Same thing. I mean, it's the same thing. Look, you can win big, you can lose big, whatever. Go there, sit down at the blackjack table. You put whatever money you want to sit down with. You know that there's a good chance you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But there's that chance. Celebrini.
He maybe he'll do it again. Third box? Get a third box?
Probably not. I'll probably just buy the car.
Because yeah, there's no cocktail waitress walking around.
Yeah. Hold on, Voltaire.
All right. So CBS Sports reporting that the NFL schedule release is just over a month away. The NFL is likely to start the slow leak of games on the 13th of May. More on the 14th, and then the entire reveal on the 15th. They turn this into an entire process. You know, the first thing we're going to hear is, hey, the NFL's got a Thursday night opener. It's Kansas City, Cincinnati or something. You know, right. It's going to be some big game.
Detroit, Philly.
But when the schedule comes out, we got a lot of questions this year. A lot of questions this year. Like, for instance, who's the Thanksgiving opponent? That's always a question. Mm-hmm. Probably bigger is, are we playing on Christmas?
Yeah. I do not want the Lions playing on Christmas.
There are three games on Christmas Day, which is it a Thursday this year? Is that right?
It's a Thursday this year.
Yeah, and then 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I think most of the feedback that we have gotten back from the audience when this was rumored to possibly be the case was no. We do not want a game on Christmas, and people really don't want a home game on Christmas. Some people do, but you know, I'm finding that more people do not. Do you think that's the biggest question with the schedule review?
I think so. I mean, for me, it is.
Yeah,
it matters a lot.
Yeah. Other questions people want to know: obviously, Thanksgiving. Who's the opener? Who's the opener? Who are they going to play in the season finale? I mean, they've really tried to backload the schedule with division games. Do you think they'll go back-to-back years, wrapping it up with Minnesota? Will they make it Green Bay? Is Chicago the new hotness? How many Thursday night games do the Lions get? How many Sunday night games do the Lions get? How many Monday night games do the Lions get? How many games are going to be on Amazon? How many when you get into December, you do have some Saturday night games. Scott Anderson, there's a lot of questions. A lot of questions 1 month from now.
There are a lot of questions.
Do you care to make a prediction? Do you think the Lions are playing on Christmas? Yes or no?
I don't think they are. Because I know the Lions have, I thought Rod Wood said late last week or earlier this week, he said something to the effect that the Lions have let the NFL know they prefer not to because we already played the Thanksgiving game.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd prefer not to have another holiday game. But the problem is the Lions are such a huge draw TV-wise that they may not care. Though I would think with a Christmas Day game, those games are going to be well-viewed. We saw last year.
Regardless of who's
playing. It doesn't
matter
who's playing. You can keep the Lions out of it. My gut tells me that it's not going to happen this year.
Kang, what do you think? Christmas Day, yes or no?
I'm going to go no because of the Thanksgiving Day game, but I'm also going to say yes, they're going to max them out on whatever the limit is for the national TV games. Like the Lions are a draw. There's no other way around it. And the NFL knows it, and you know how they feel about making money. They like it. So they're going to put the Lions on national TV as much as possible.
Yeah.
But no on Christmas, but they'll max out on they're going to be all over America.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to call it a strong prediction.
Okay.
I'm not going to shoot the boot guarantee it. Don't even ask. Traditionally, the defending Super Bowl champion hosts a game in their home stadium to kick off the NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the case since 2004. That opening game is typically played on a Thursday night. I think the Detroit Lions are playing at Philadelphia to open up the NFL season.
I could see it.
I mean, if you're going to take a Philly home game, is there a better team to have it than the Lions?
I mean, you put Dallas. Dallas is always a huge draw.
I know.
Washington would be a massive draw. It's a rematch of the NFC Championship game, so I could see that. But I think Detroit's a worthy opponent, too. I would imagine it would be Detroit or Washington.
So I'm trying to see if the Eagles have any other grade, and they probably do have some great home opponents. Could it be the Bears? Could they open against the Bears on a Thursday night? Look at Ben Johnson and that new-look team with all the signings they made.
Possible. I think probably less possible than Detroit or Washington.
Yeah. Could it be the Rams? Rematch of that playoff game.
Eh.
Who else do they got here? Could it be the Vegas Raiders? Any draw there?
Nope.
Denver?
Nope.
Yeah. Dude, I think it's the Lions. I think the Lions are going to open the season. Maybe I'll shoot the boot guarantee it.
Wow.
Did you just say that you would shoot the boot guarantee?
I said maybe.
Oh.
Kind of said it. I mean, those words were all in sequence.
Yeah, they were in sequence. Preceded by the word maybe.
Is that word important?
When used in this sentence, it's very important to me. But that would be my prediction for when the schedule comes out, which will be just over a month's time. Okay. Tigers. We haven't really gotten into yesterday's Tiger game. Jack Flaherty was great. Max Fried was really good for them. Offense sputtered. First time this year, game 12, that they got out hit, not walked. Their walks and hits per innings pitched had always been better than their opponents in every game, which means the offense was earning base runners. Didn't happen yesterday for the first time all year. Okay, so thing not a thing here, Gator. There are some bats that could heat up a little bit warmer. Now, to be fair here, things like batting average are way down across the board in Major League Baseball. I mean, last year, and OPS is now stressed, and understandably so. It is a valuable offensive metric. You know, how often do you get on base, and where are you getting on base? Are you getting on base on second because you got a ton of doubles? Yeah. Or third?
Are you doing damage when you hit the baseball?
Yep. There are some guys that currently could give them more. Probably the player that is closest to a crisis. He's not a crisis, but is closest to a crisis is Cole Keith, because he's really not hitting the ball, and he's kind of butchered things in the field. To be fair, he was told all offseason he's playing first base, and then he's put in there at second base. What is your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 12 with Cole Keith?
12 where he's got to go into the minors?
Yes.
It's probably at a 4. There's concern to the poor start, but I think he gets a long runway with this.
Yeah.
AJ Hinch said he's not don't even want to talk about it. It's not a concern right now. But starting off the season through 12 games, hitting 171, not very good. Now, the on-base percentage is huge because he walked all those times to start the season. He's got 12 walks. And he's got 12 strikeouts on the season, too. One thing he didn't do much last year was strike out. So the strikeouts are up. That is, to me, a little bit of concern. The three errors, I think he's made three errors at second base. That doesn't look good either. You know, they had the one last night yesterday in the ninth inning, which cost them a run and ends up being the run that wins the game. So that's difficult. But I agree. I'm giving him plenty of runway too. I think he's a really good young player. I think he's got way more to give. I mean, you look at his frame and you think that guy should, he's going to hit 30 home runs a year, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the power stroke yet. He's got to figure that out. But right now, he's just got to figure out how to put the ball in play so he's getting on base with base hits and not just relying on his keen eye at the plate. But I mean, his slugging percentage is 229. That's pathetic.
Yep.
But with Gleyber Torres coming back soon, and he is the everyday second baseman, and with the way Spencer Torkelson is hitting, and he's a better fielder than Colt Keith at first base, you know, is Colt Keith going to be relegated to DH role? And will he, you know, because that's going to be tough to do with Carpenter on this team as well. But they'll figure it out. I'm sure he'll get plenty of at-bats. It's not like this guy's going to end up going into, you know, just be the last guy in the roster and get the bats like that where you can. I think he's a bat they want in the lineup because he showed last year hitting 260 in a rookie season. That's pretty good.
It's weird because, you know, I think there's premium on every game this season. This team I expect them to compete for the American League Central. I've said it a ton. Whereas last year at this time, there was a little bit of, it's okay, we're bringing these young guys along, just make sure that they're getting their reps. But because they're trying to win the division this year and they are a strong candidate to win this division, it to me says Colt Keith's timeline is a little bit shorter before they might be looking to send him to the minors. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he gets another 2 weeks? Because I normally I'd be like, I'm accustomed to just saying, whatever, let him work his way through it. But they're trying to win.
Well, as bad as he's been, it's not as bad as what Parker Meadows was last year. And maybe bad's the wrong word. It's a slow start. He's gotten off to a slow start. But Parker Meadows got off to 2 months of a slow start and had to go. I mean, that was hitting 100 for 2 months. You got to go to the minors and figure it out. And he did. And he was so much better when he came back. Colt Keith is at 171 with his batting average right now. It's not good, but it's just can you just say it's a slow start?
Yeah.
Does he have good approaches at the plate? I mean, you could say he does because he's got 12 walks, which leads the team. By far, it leads the team by four over the next batter. And the next batter is actually Justin Henry Molloy in limited at-bats.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So both of these younger guys have pretty good eyes at the plate. Okay, you're still there. I mean, he's still getting on base.
Right.
But if you're not fielding the position well, that could be a problem, but that could be rectified if you're going to start Torres over him anyway. So then he just becomes basically a DH, but the word hitter is part of the DH. You have to hit.
Okay. There are some other things. You know, we've talked a lot about what's gone right. There's some other things that need to get better. We will get to that list as we continue here at 118 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, a great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. And that's where True Green comes in. They are the local experts in Detroit and the official lawn care treatment provider of something called the PGA Tour. So they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. And here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to truegreen.com today and let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results. It's called Keith talking about having to play the two positions. Not going to say that that's anything that's hurting him. I looked it up. Parker Meadows got 27 starts last year before he got sent down. I would say last year's team was in a position to be more patient than this year's team. I mean, is Colt Keith kind of halfway there? He's at 11 starts. Do you think he's halfway there in terms of, I mean, I want to see him turn it around. Let me be clear. But I think he can, and I would bet that he will. But you also have to be aware of this team's trying to win this year. This is a little different than it's been in the past.
It has been. And again, you've got position where at second base, Gleyber Torres comes back and takes over. So even though he started the year at first base, but clearly you've lost that because Spencer Torkelson's hit. Knock on wood, that continues to be the case. So now you're like looking around like, okay, where am I?
Right.
I don't think there's a ton of competition from guys at AAA. At Toledo, there's nobody's knocking on the door waiting to come up. Chase Young has started off when he's hit well thus far. I think he's like around 300 in the early start of the season, but they started just a few days after the Tigers did. So he's the only guy right now at the AAA level that maybe has a chance to knock on that door. Otherwise, it's just situational. Hey, we lost an outfielder. We need an outfielder, which is just what happened recently. But I think Colt Keith's got, like I said, a long runway. And again, he's hitting 171. Parker Meadows was hitting 100.
Right. All right, here's more from Colt Keith yesterday. When asked about his confidence, here's what he had to say. Interesting. Like baseball, I mean, even guys that are established are constantly dealing with the mental challenges of this thing. I actually heard the broadcast. I can't remember. It was earlier this week. Just talking about how it is such a mental game because there's so much failure that, you know, even the best are constantly struggling with it. And when you get in these slumps, you just feel useless. Like you're never going to get another hit ever again.
Right. I mean, it really is amazing what a difference 10% is.
Oh, yeah.
200 to 300. That's the difference.
Yep. 248-539-9797. All right, other things. I mean, are we worried about Kerry Carpenter here at all? Not a lot, but
I'd like to see
four home runs.
Yeah, but he's got eight hits on the year. Four of them are the bombs. He also has a double in there. But Kerry Carpenter was a guy who mashes right-handed pitching, and now we haven't seen him really mash right-handed pitching just yet. So I'm not concerned about it because we know he's got the track record of doing it. I'm not terribly worried about Kerry Carpenter.
Okay. The Riley Green is hitting for average. He's hit some home runs. What is up with the strikeouts?
It's a lot. 19 through 12 games is a lot. 19 out of 49 at-bats is a ton. That's looking at, you know, almost a 40% strikeout rate is huge. He's got to cut that down for sure. And he's only drawn one walk this year as well. That's the other side of it. I mean, 19-1 ratio, that ain't going to cut it.
Yep.
This is an all-star. He's a great player. He'll be better.
You know, the thing about these guys and bringing these guys up, this is the counterbalance to the Spencer Torkelson's not going to last. These guys' stat lines are things that I feel pretty confident that there will be some bounce back and that they will. If Torkelson fades, and I, you know, I'm not rooting for that, but it's something that I think is in all of the back of our minds is where is Tork going to settle in? And, you know, because he's been a lot of ways their most valuable player so far.
He and McKinstry.
Yeah.
Which is a shock.
Yes. So when those two settle in, you know, are the other guys coming around so that there's no discernible drop off in the way that they're producing offense?
It's usually how baseball works. You know, you if you can get the everything clicking at the same time for a period of time, you're in great shape.
Yep.
But typically, some guys are doing great while others aren't so much, and then it just levels out.
Yep.
Switches to the other side. But I mean, we've all been pleasantly surprised with Spencer Torkelson, but Zach McKinstry is the guy maybe we should be talking about because he's hitting better than anybody else on the team right now. He is coming up with some clutch hits, whether it's a base hit or it's a home run. He has been clutch so far this season. And that's great to see because look, I've spoken poorly about Zach McKinstry in the past. I think he's the last guy on your roster. He's on the roster because he's versatile enough to play a bunch of positions, play third and play second base, shortstop in a pinch, play in the outfield if you have to. And okay, that's great, but didn't really bring a whole lot to the table offensively. Well, he started off, it's just 11 games for him, but he started off being one of their better players, one of the better stories out of the gate.
Feedback coming in here regarding the Mach 1.0. Mike in Detroit says, James Pierce is the pick. You can't pass on this talent like they passed on Jalen Carter.
Yeah, all they got was Jahmyr Gibbs out of it.
Yeah, look, there's more paths to success than the one that went through Jalen Carter. We talk about this all the time.
And Sam LaPorta.
But there are other guys that people took chances on and failed. And so you can't say, just because Jalen Carter made it, I'll take anybody with a question mark. It's ridiculous logic. Yeah,
I think the three players that we've selected.
I like Pierce, don't get me wrong, as a player. He's a risk, and I'm willing to acknowledge it. It has nothing to do with what they did with Jalen Carter. They have a stronger locker room now.
Your pick at Mach 1.0 is James Pierce. Mine is Derek Harmon, and Kang's is Shamar Stewart. All three players, there's reason to like all three players. You know, Kang points out the RAS score, which the Lions definitely value. He was through the charts with the RAS score, Shamar Stewart.
Yep.
James Pierce as well is another one of those guys. And, you know, I like Derek Harmon might be the safe pick. I mean, I don't know if that's why I gravitated there. I think the screaming need is at edge rusher, but I just feel like Harmon is such a talent that I don't think we'll be there at 28. If he is, you got to jump on.
There's about 10 names on this list that I'd be ecstatic to get, to be honest with you. From an unnamed texter, I'd be ecstatic with a Buka or Sawyer championship pedigree. You know, in preparing for this draft, I mean, if you want championship pedigree and you don't want to reach for a defensive lineman like Sawyer at 28, you go Kenneth Grant, who's got a national championship, if the championship pedigree matters to you. Emeka Buka, there's something about that kid that I think he's going to make it. Like, I think he's got intangibles. I think I'm so impressed with him. And I'm so impressed, like the Ohio State guy, the other Ohio State guy that I think is awesome is Travion Henderson. Like hearing him talk and the way he prepares for games, that's a guy I wouldn't bet against.
Look, there are players from Ohio State, certainly. I mean, it's a national championship team, so they're guys that you have to like, even if you didn't like them because they wore the scarlet and gray. And Jack Sawyer is one of them. I always thought Jack Sawyer was kind of a bust, and then when the games are biggest, in the playoffs, he showed up immensely. He was massive in the playoffs for him. Tuimoloau, if he's, you know, there at 28, I'm probably not going to take him because I think there are better edge rushers out there. But there's your championship pedigree, and he's had a nice career at Ohio State, and they've got offensive linemen there that are good. They have the two running backs. The Judkins, the other one, is also good. So there are lots of players at Ohio State. There's defensive backs from Ohio State. Ransom is available.
None of these guys at 28.
None of them scream. I was just going to say, but none of them scream to me, I got to have him at 28. Now, maybe the offensive lineman, if you fall in love.
Donovan Jackson.
With Donovan Jackson, then you want to have him at 28. I get it.
He would probably be the most logical one at 28.
Yeah, but these other ones, it seems like they can be had in the second or third round or past that.
More of your picks coming up, 248-539-9797. But first at 131, Gator, I've had enough of this. Oh. I'm done with this. Oh, and boy. Don't need to see it ever again.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to get my way, but I've reached my tolerance and I'm done.
Okay.
We'll get to that at 131. Hey, swing into the biggest golf event of the year with FanDuel, where every putt and drive can bring you closer to victory. Because right now, all customers can get a profit boost every round of the first major. Boost your winnings on anything from outright winners to round leaders to tournament matchups and so much more. And the thing about the profit boosts that are nice is that usually if you bet on a favorite, the return isn't quite there. Well, profit boost can give you that little bit of extra to make it worth it to take a favorite. FanDuel is your go-to for betting on Augusta. Tee off and a variety of bet types and live bet as the tournament drama unfolds. So don't wait. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and swing for some green at Augusta. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost token. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I have reached my breaking point. I have had enough.
Yes, you have.
I am done. And I'm hoping that it's over. I don't need to hear any more about Luka.
Oh, that's what you're done with.
I don't need to hear about the trade. I don't need to hear about the homecoming. I don't need any more coverage of Luka. Got it. He went home to Dallas. Cool. I'm done. I'm done with all the Luka coverage. I'm done with Luka's on the Lakers. I'm done. Am I going to get my way? Did that storyline end? Did all the Luka obsession end? Luka obsession up being on the Lakers. Did it all end last night when he went back to Dallas? Is it over?
I got to tell you, I avoided it completely. Like I saw very little of the attention paid to it today. I saw on ESPN.com that it was their front page, and I understood why.
At our new workstations, there's three TVs. And in the morning, I get in here and I get the TVs going.
Yeah.
And I had two of the three TVs on one and two, ESPN regular and ESPN two. And there was Luka coverage constantly on both TVs. I'm over it. Got it. He got traded. It's amazing. He's on the Lakers. He's now gone back to Dallas. No more Luka coverage. Can we get this back to just being about the NBA season and not everything Luka-centric?
No, it'll be about the Lakers once the playoffs start.
Oh, no, I'm very fearful.
Because I don't know if you knew this. He plays with LeBron.
Do you know how irritating it is that one of the greatest rip-off trades of all time goes to one of the organizations that is like has the born with the silver spoon in their mouth, mm-hmm. Lakers. It is so irritating. And the fact that the more I hear about it, the more irritated I'm getting. I'm turning into anti-Luka guy, and it's not Luka's fault. It's done.
It's the coverage.
I am done with the Luka storyline. Can we just let something else take the headlines? And I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. And I am doing what thousands of you out there do every day on Ticket Text. Complain about what we're talking about.
Yeah, but so, Doug, this is par for the course for you because like you hated the Matthew Stafford coming back to Detroit storyline.
Oh,
you just wanted to talk about football, and I get that.
Yep.
But you can't avoid this stuff. I mean, this was literally his first time back in Dallas, so it was going to be a big deal. Clearly, ESPN is a partner with the NBA anyway, so they love this stuff. If you followed the NBA at all the last 5, 10, 15 years, part of the NBA is the drama. They love the soap opera aspect of the NBA. The fact that every team has a superstar or two, and then there's drama involved, they love that. There's always something beyond the court with the ratings and the NBA. So as far as the homecoming, yeah, you're done with that part. But if somehow, some way, the Mavericks play the Lakers in the playoffs, get ready to throw up then, Doug. Because ESPN is not going to avoid that.
No, they're probably not.
They're dreaming for that somehow
to
happen. Right
not.
Now, the Mavs are in a playoffs or a play-in spot. I mean, a lot of things would have to happen. Lakers are the third seed.
I mean, maybe I'm seeing a future headline like the Pistons upset the Knicks in game one, but the first 45 minutes of SportsCenter is dedicated to Luka having 17. You know, in a 25-point Laker win.
Yeah, that probably would happen.
Yeah, I'm seeing this future right around the corner, and So the broadcast, the concept of broadcasting, right? You're trying to appeal to the largest number of people with whatever you are discussing and whatever you are showing. And so I'm sure their feedback is that they're getting massive numbers in Los Angeles the more they talk about Luka, and that's a big market. And I'm just done. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Where are you going to? You're going to get plenty of it because the Western Conference is going to be compelling.
The whole concept of that trade, though, it's like now.
The trade was ridiculous.
The trade's ridiculous, and it's a data point that skews the scale where, I mean, I think every other GM and every other sport now is going to suffer because one absurd trade was made where some team went out and got. They went out and got one of the best players in the league for virtually nothing, and that's just it. Just tipped the scale so far over the top that now people want to send Marco Casper for Connor McDavid.
I think that in the offseason, the NBA needs to launch an investigation. Seriously, into what happened with this trade, because it was ridiculous. If you have arguably the best player in the league, and all of a sudden you want to trade him, you want to move him, it would behoove you to let the rest of the league know so that you can get the best offer in return for your franchise. Getting Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and some draft capital back, that's so weak it's beyond belief. And the fact that you did it in the dead of night, nobody can know about it. No other teams could counter. Either shows that, A, you're completely incompetent as a general manager for a franchise, or two, that there's some collusion going on in the NBA to allow this to happen. Now, the problem is, if you're going to have the NBA investigate, having the NBA investigate themselves may not be the best thing.
But the thing about it is, too, is I'm looking at this story, and I'm going, the whole time, I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop. The moment. The finding out that Luka had like Deshaun Watson type stuff on his record. Right. A terrible example, but
what you're saying. Yeah.
I've been waiting to hear.
Oh, they had to get rid of him.
Yeah, they had to get rid of him. And now, I mean, the Lakers probably aren't going to win a playoff series, right? Or maybe they will.
Well, now with the firing of the coach and the GM in Denver.
Yeah,
and everybody's wondering, okay, what's going to happen with Jokic? Is he going to stick around there? Or does he want to force a trade? If he forces a trade, look what he goes for, because that's a comp. Luka and the Joker are the same type player, right? So, if Jokic gets traded, I'm dying to see what that return.
What will the Lakers give up?
This is going to crush you, Doug. There are already like people putting mock trades together for Jokic to join the Lakers.
I'm sure there are.
Because they need more star power over there.
Yeah. Yep.
It's funny, they had the odds came out regarding a possible trade, and the Pistons were like second to last to possibly land Jokic. I thought, really? That far down? And then the same thing came out with TJ Watt. That TJ Watt is a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
To be moved, because he tweeted out him in his Steelers uniform with a peace sign up in the air. People think, oh, he wants out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does or doesn't, but I found this to be interesting. TJ Watt's next team, if not the Steelers, the Patriots are the top to land him at 3-1, followed by Seattle at 4-1, Philadelphia at 5-1, the Lions second to last at 75-1.
Wow. Well, I'll just say this. Like, I get it. But can we conclude the story and just move on and talk about the season? I don't think I'm going to get my way. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. We'll get to more of your first-round picks. And, in fact, we'll tally them up and tell you who the people want more than anybody else at 28. It is Carson Anderson Mach 1.0 coming to a conclusion at 150. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, you trust CGC for top quality Connecticut water systems. Now trust them with your plumbing too. April showers bring flooded basements. Keep yours dry with CGC water treatment and plumbing. Right now, save 10% on a new Zoeller sump pump. Need backflow testing? CGC's got you covered. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Remember, if you are not filtering your water, you are the filter. Don't be the filter. Call your authorized independent Connecticut dealer today at 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Go ahead. Tell the people what tweet you want to see.
I want to see a tweet from the Red Wings that says that they've recalled Sebastian Cosa and Nate Danielson from Grand Rapids. We got not even a handful of games left. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it happens after tonight. If they get eliminated tonight, if they don't win tonight's game, then they're officially out of the playoff race, right?
Yep.
Even though emotionally I've already disconnected myself and said that they're done. So if that's the case, I expect them very shortly to do something like that. And it would be until Grand Rapids starts their playoff season, because they've already clinched a playoff spot, and then you just return them there. But I think to get that, that's the only way that I would have interest in the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, I'll still watch because that's what I do, and I've got a problem with that, I guess. But it would raise interest levels of Red Wing fans if you're able to see something worth seeing, like a Sebastian Cosa start, or seeing the first round pick from a couple years ago get a chance to crack the lineup.
See what happens. Just see what happens, right?
Just, I mean, yeah. I mean, because I've seen enough of some players that are out there, and you don't need to keep playing them.
Yep.
Particularly if the season's done. What's the point?
Completely get it. Okay. So we are bringing the Carson Anderson Mock 1.0 to a conclusion. We will have the results here in a minute. Regarding Colt Keith, from an unnamed texter, Colt Keith hits for little power and plays horrid defense. He'll be sent to Lido as soon as Torres or Vierling return from the IL. I think he gets 20 to 24 games, maybe even closer to 20 than 24. I think he's about halfway there. He's played, I think he's got 11 starts so far, but he'll get less than Parker Meadows got last year.
Well, I mean, the thing is with Torres coming back, then you got to kick somebody off the roster, right? Somebody's got to go.
Yep.
And this is a middle, this is an infielder they have.
If
it doesn't solve any problem in the outfield.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to use Hicklin all that much, so.
I mean, they haven't yet, but at the same time,
I know it's not an outfielder coming back. It's not an outfielder, but if you're not using Hicklin anyway.
Fair enough. So then when the texter's right, though. When Vierling comes back, now Vierling's just getting ready to start baseball activities here. It still could be a few weeks away.
Yeah. How long's Margot? How long's he out? Because, well, anyway. So Colt Keith was supposed to play first base. He completely forgot how to play second and field routine ground ball. Stop with the excuses. Can't hit either. That's from Brian. I don't know why people.
He can hit. Yeah. He's off to a slow start.
Yeah. And
he's walking a ton. His on-base percentage is quite good, actually.
Was he a better second baseman last year than this?
Yes.
So is it possible that all the stuff he's put in, all the work he's put in at first base has hurt him?
It's possible.
I don't know why that's quote-unquote an excuse. What is the definition of an excuse at sports? Isn't that when you bring up something that should have nothing to do with it? And I would, yeah, I think a guy who's been repping at first all offseason and all spring with very little, he played a little bit of second in spring training, right? I mean, I don't know. Yes, Brian, you call it an excuse. Colt Keith's position with this team has been completely upended for 1 year of Gleyber Torres because he'll be gone in 2026. Is it really worth it? It's really worth it if you win. I mean, the goal this year is to win. My level of concern is 7.5. It's that high because, one, our 40-man roster makes it difficult to find a – because on our 40-man roster, it makes it difficult to find a position for him to play. It's from Jason Arroyo. Yeah, I mean, it is a concern. It is a concern. Yes, the people that heard me yell, it was about the CBS Sports Minute. Because people on the stream,
so ironic.
People on the stream just heard me yell. I just did a story. I just did a topic. I'm kind of over the whole Luka thing. I got it. Yeah, he returned home. Okay, great. Didn't need 45 straight minutes of coverage on it today, but okay, yeah. Can we please stop talking about Luka on the Lakers? I'm not going to get my way. They're going to keep talking about it. Then we go to one of those CBS Sports Minute things, and it's all about Luka. And so did my mic accidentally get turned on to hear me yell? Yes, that accidentally happened.
Accidentally, huh?
Accidentally happened. So those of you, Evan came in, he was monitoring the stream, said, did you just yell? Like, yes, I just yelled.
We thought maybe Gator did something to you.
No. No, it's about the CBS Sports Minute, which, by the way, I'm not sure people on the stream were hearing.
No, they weren't. They weren't. It was just a random stream.
Out of nowhere, here comes Doug yelling.
Well, now you know why I yelled. Okay. We have reached the 0 hour, Gator, from Carson Anderson Mock 1.0. Are you ready, my friend?
I am ready. I'm dying to hear what the people have said.
Well, it's really similar to what we said. Tied for second with 17% of the vote. James Pierce, edge rusher from Tennessee. Derek Harmon, defensive tackle from Oregon. And in first place with 25% of the vote, Shamar Stewart, edge rusher, Texas A&M. He is the people's choice in Carson Anderson 1.0.
People like Hank better than us.
This has been established in a lot of ways. We've seen it. We're very happy that Kang is part of the show.
Yeah, all three players are really, really interesting. The other interesting thing of that, at least to me, those three players comprise roughly 50% of the vote.
More than that, yes. But, I mean, we had it surrounded what the most coveted players at 28 are. And, everybody that got votes today isn't going to be there. But the point is some of these guys will, and none of these are a stretch.
Yeah, and obviously, like you said, Doug, not all these guys are going to be there at 28. But if they get within range, the Lions could move up for any of our guys that we mentioned today, whether it's Pierce, Harmon, or Stewart. I think the interesting thing is all three of us picked a defensive lineman. I think this draft, this first round, is going to be crazy for defensive linemen, and I'm curious how many actually go. I mean, there's rumors that there might be 20 guys on the defensive line that go in the first round, and maybe that includes a couple of the outside linebackers that could play the edge, but it's really deep in that, that front four, and I think the Lions, I think you guys agree with this, I think the Lions are going to can get one of those top guys, and they might be top guys as like a top 10 pick, but there's going to be talent there at that position. Oh, yeah. Late in the draft, late in the first round.
Lots of talent to be had. Number of different positions. It's. I feel pretty confident the Lions are going to get a really good player at 28.
The 4.5 sacks thing in 3 years doesn't scare you. I know pressures is a big deal and RAS score is a big deal. Production's not there.
I can see why that could be alarming to some people, for sure. I mean, you'd rather have a guy be productive his entire career, wherever, whatever level it is. Yep. I get that. But I think at this point in level, like pro, translating to the pro level, it's different. Now, taking you back a little bit, remember Ziggy Ansah?
Yep.
All right. He had the size and everything at BYU. He had actually just started playing football very late in his, amateur career, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he was like the fifth overall pick. And he actually was a decent pick. I mean, I think people kind of forget the fact that he was, when healthy, was a pretty good player.
Took him a couple years, and then he had a couple very productive years, yes. And then he was done.
Yes. It definitely translated, though. The problem was he couldn't stay healthy after that, and then his career was done. I kind of see the same thing with Stewart, but I think he's got even bigger upside. I think he's got... The problem is the floor might be that he's never going to pile up any sacks, right? I mean, that's not good. I think Harmon, your guy's probably got the highest floor. I think at worst, he's a run stopper. And
I think he's if he's there at 28, I think Derek Harmon is a very safe pick.
Yes. I think the ceiling for a guy like Stewart, though, is, I know this is crazy, but because I think Myles Garrett type, like that's the prototypical body size. I mean, his scores, his numbers are very similar to Garrett. Problem is his production level wasn't there. Garrett had that in college.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes people feel any better, and I know that these things are looked at, and when you invariably talk about these things, you'll get some response saying, there's no way he's their guy. He's going to be their guys. Mel Kiper's got Shamar Stewart in his final mock going 29th to Washington. And Detroit has the 28th pick.
Who do you have the Lions taking?
Kiper had the Lions taking Donovan Azaraku. So, thank you so much.
The direct opposite, the polar opposite when it comes to production.
Oh, yeah, he's got a ton.
Azaraku had a ton of sacks.
Yep, but we'll hang on to this and probably do one more of these before the draft rolls around. But again, we appreciate all your votes. Little surprised Azaraku didn't get more love in this thing, to be honest with you, because I feel like there have been a lot of mocks where he's gone to Detroit, and I think it'd be a fine pick. But he didn't get many votes. So.
Well, because we're talking, we open up the pool. To people that probably aren't going to be, obviously people aren't going to be
some
there.
Some of these guys aren't going to be there.
And maybe it becomes more obvious if we do a 2.0. Okay, we've seen another 15 mocks, and these guys are nowhere near the 20 range. They're gone by pick 20. Let's take them out.
Let's say the Lions love them, let's not forget that last year in Mel's final mock, Terron Arnold was 15 to Indianapolis when he was still on the board at 24. Lions moved up a few spots and took him.
So, that's right.
Yep. Here's Rico Beard, Hello,
nice,
sir.
Doug Karsh. You okay?
I'm doing good.
You sure?
Oh, you heard the yell.
Yeah, we all heard. Yeah.
So the yell was centered around, I just did a, I mentioned that I'm done with the Luka story. I'm sick of Luka this, Luka that. Oh, Luka's a Laker. Luka's still a Laker. This just in.
Luka came back to Dallas.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's over now, right? We don't have to hear about Luka anymore. Now he's gone back to Dallas, which is a pipe dream. And then we go to commercial break, and the first thing that plays is a CBS Sports Minute about Luka. And that's why I'm like, I don't know how I accidentally touched this button in front of me, but I did. And
we all looked up to see what was going on in here.
Well, people that are watching on the stream or listening on the stream, that comes through loud and clear because the Sports Minute isn't.
Right.
So
you just hear Doug yelling.
Why is he
yelling? That's why. That's why.
Now you know.
Like I said, I haven't heard that since the whole Patrick Ewing argument.
No, had. Don't even start.
So what's coming up on the show today?
We're going to have some fun with the Masters.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
We're going to have some fun with the Masters.
I'm intrigued.
What's the local Augusta? Where's that? And then sports-wise and golf-wise, what's that Augusta for you?
Interesting. With two guys that don't play golf, it should be interesting.
I'm intrigued to hear.
We got Evan.
Yeah, you do have Evan.
We're a team, man. We're a team. When one is short, the other lifts us up. That's how we see things. It's like you and Kang pulling the hockey cards.
Dude, that was great.
Still waiting to get on that pod, but, you know, it's not like I don't collect anything.
Follow the link that we tweeted out today if you want to see the hockey card break.
Yeah, and then a rule that the Masters have that everybody should adopt.
Okay. Have a great show. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.